This morning, we are going to conclude our look at navigating a world full of opinions. This will be the final message in this series, and then beginning in July next week, we're going to start a whole new series. And hopefully, summer vacations are drawing to a close, or staycations are happening, so I encourage you to tell all your neighbors and your friends, hey, summer is one-third of the way done, get back to church. And enjoy our company. Enjoy our gym-smelling floor over in there. But there are basically two points that I want to share with you this morning in this final message of navigating a world of opinions. We have looked at a couple prophets of the Old Testament in this series. We've looked at Jonah, the book that bears his name. And we saw that he was this prophet who, according to the story, did not want to do what God called him to do. God told him to speak the words to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah did not want to. In fact, he tried to flee from his responsibilities. And he didn't want to do this because he didn't want that kind of people to have the chance to repent before the word of the Lord. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the prophet Ezekiel, and we saw how the word of the Lord came to him, and he obeyed. God told Ezekiel, speak to the people of Israel these words, and so Ezekiel did, even though he was told by God, these people who you speak to will probably not listen to what you say. These words of warning. And so that's kind of the backdrop. These two Old Testament prophets who were told the word, one disobeyed, another obeyed, but there was two different circumstances and experiences. And today we're going to look at another instance where God spoke, and we'll see if obedience took place. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. It's a story of a man named Saul. And the author of Acts is also the author of the Gospel of Luke. Luke wrote Luke and Acts. Acts is like the sequel, the continuation of what he started in his gospel. And as we read, as you follow along this story in Acts chapter 9, there are similarities between what happens with Saul and these Old Testament prophets that we've looked at. The Word of God comes to a person. And do they respond? How do they respond? Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Will you stand with me as we read from this book as a way of honoring, showing an honor to God by reading of his word? Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. We read this. Luke tells us, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we explore this text in light of the previous two prophets of the Old Testament, we pray that your application would become very real to our life situation and circumstances, that we would walk out of this place renewed, refreshed, and energized for what you would call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So just to recap very quickly, we have a guy named Saul. He has been, according to Luke, breathing murderous threats to all of those who claim Jesus as their Messiah. This was a Jewish way of saying their Savior. Anyone who said Jesus was the Messiah was on Saul's hit list. Now, some background on Saul. This was a man who came from a fairly wealthy family. He was Jewish, but also, because of his family standing, he was also a citizen of Rome. And so he kind of had this dual citizenship going on. And he was also what was called a Pharisee, a group of men who were very passionate about the law of Moses, who was very passionate about keeping yourselves pure or holy. They would come up with these rules to help prevent you from breaking any law of Moses. And they would get so zealous for the word of God and for the law of Moses that they would cry out and blame any sinner, any problem that the nation of Israel had. It was because of these sinners, because they were not pure enough. They didn't know the word of God good enough. And his first real exposure that we read of Saul comes in a story of the people stoning a man named Stephen because he was proclaiming Jesus as Savior. And the people were so angry at Stephen that they were stoning him to death, and Saul was standing there holding their jackets as a way of giving his approval as an authoritative Pharisee. Yes, this is good. Continue to do this. That is our first experience with this man, Saul. So he's very passionate about his heritage. He's very passionate about the law. He's passionate about getting people back on track with the way he thinks God's way is. And this passion of his drew him up against this new movement called the Way. And this was taken from Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so the people who followed this Jesus, this risen Savior that they were announcing and proclaiming, they came to call themselves, we are the way. We're following this way. Listen to some of his own words, Saul. Luke writes this in Acts 26. He says, I too, this is Saul writing, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. So this guy is passionate about destroying the followers of Jesus. And so we read here back to Acts chapter 9 that he goes to a high priest, kind of like the religious boss in Jerusalem, and he wants written support to go and arrest these followers of Jesus in the city of Damascus. The distance that it takes to travel from Jerusalem to Damascus on foot was probably about a week's time to travel. What would you be thinking about as you're heading that way? You have the full authority of the religious leaders, and you just can't wait to find these rebellious people and put them in prison and possibly even applaud their death. So when they're about to reach the city of Damascus, Saul has this experience that, as we read, could be compared to an Old Testament prophet and his experience. So Luke writes this in such a way that his audience, the listeners, and later the readers of this book of Acts would say, "Ah, this sounds familiar. This experience that Saul is having, it's a lot like people that Jonah and Ezekiel and Amos and Hezekiah, all of these Old Testament people, it's very similar to this. There's a thread that's going on here in the Word of God." And so Saul has this dramatic and traumatic experience with God. He's left blind, and he has no appetite for 3 days. Echoing the 3 days of Jesus in the grave before his resurrection. By way of a side note that we'll look at later, Saul eventually goes by his Roman name, which is Paul. Most of the New Testament that you read was written by this guy, Saul, who becomes Paul. But after this experience with Saul and Jesus revealing himself to him, we meet another character. We meet another guy who is referred to as a disciple of Jesus named Ananias. He's living in Damascus, and he too, as we read, has an experience like the Old Testament prophets. In fact, his experience is more like a guy that we read in the Old Testament named Samuel. When Samuel was a young boy, the Lord called to him, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel's response was, "Here I am, Lord." Luke is very deliberate in trying to recreate this, that this is the same Lord who did this in Old Testament times. It's the same Lord who is doing this today. And Ananias is instructed to meet Saul. And as we read in Acts chapter 9, Luke includes some details that you don't typically see in Bible stuff. He includes the actual name of the street of Judas. And so you read this and you're like, why would you add that? Why would you include that? But it makes sense when you put yourself back in Luke's time period. As he's writing, it's very well possible that Judas is still alive. And when they read this, "Oh yeah, so this guy who lives on State Street, I know where State Street is." It's Luke's way of saying, once you've heard the story, go talk to him. He was there. It's his house on State Street. Go and talk to him. Find out for yourself. This really happened. But I want to look at what Ananias said. And this is my first point that I want us to wrestle with this morning. When the Lord speaks to Ananias and he tells him, there's a guy in this house and he's waiting for you. This is what Ananias says. "God, I have heard many reports about this man. The stories of how ruthless, of how murderous this man Saul is, has reached Ananias' ears. He speaks murderous threats to our people, Jesus. Have you heard what this guy is like? I mean, he was the guy who was just standing by and applauding Stephen's death. I mean, are you sure this is the guy you want me to talk to? I have heard reports. And not just reports, many reports about this man. As I was reading through this passage, preparing for this morning, it was this sentence that jumped out at me. Have you ever had that experience where you're reading the word and something just, it's like that song that gets stuck in your head, and no matter what you do, it just stays there. You lay down thinking you're going to have a good night's sleep, and all of a sudden that song just comes back in your head, and you're like, no, why is that still there? You wake up in the morning, and you're like, oh, a fresh new day, this song goes over, and you're like, no, why is the song still there? This is what was happening to me this week. This phrase was just going and going and going in my head this week, and so all I could think of was, God, you've got this message for somebody here this morning. So you may be here this morning, and this phrase, this message, what I'm about to say is just for you. I have heard many reports about this man. This continues the thread that we've looked at here in this how we navigate a world of opinions. We had Jonah, who was told to speak to the Ninevites, and he refused to do it because he didn't like them, and he didn't want them to have the chance to respond to God. We looked at Ezekiel, and he was told to speak to the Israelites, and they said, you know what, even if you do this, they may not listen to you. In fact, they probably won't listen to you. And we put ourselves in their shoes. Man, if I was Jonah, would I want my enemies to receive the word of God? If I was Ezekiel and I was told, man, they're probably not going to listen to you, would I want to even waste my time doing this? And now we have Ananias. The Lord says, speak to Saul. And Ananias replies, I have heard many reports about this man. How many of us, as you're sitting here, as you're listening, how many of us have ever had the attitude or the thought process, I've heard some reports about this person. I've heard some rumors about their past. Do you realize what they've done? Do you realize what kind of person people are saying they are? Have you heard the gossip recently about this person? Have you ever had these thoughts where you say, you know what, I've heard about their past. So-and-so has told me about what they were like, what they've done. I've heard the stories of who they are, the error, the sin, the mistakes they've done. I don't want to associate myself with this person. I've heard reports about this man. How many of us have ever made judgments or based our behavior, our interactions with people, our response to reports that we have heard about these people, about a person? How many of us have based our judgment, what we think about a person or a group of people, simply because of the gossip we've heard? The reports that are out there. Maybe we really don't know the person. We've seen their face. We know who they are. We've heard the stories. But we don't know them. We haven't really talked to them. We haven't really gotten to know them. But you know what? We've heard reports. And those reports aren't good. Those rumors, that gossip, man, that's not somebody I want to be associated with. And maybe, this is where it gets really tricky, maybe the reports are true. The reports that Ananias heard about Saul were absolutely true. This was a guy who was on a murderous rampage against the people of Jesus. Murderous threats. Putting them in prison, casting his vote for their death. Maybe the stories actually happened about the people we've heard about. But do we know the person? Or are we simply going off of the reports that we've heard? How many times do we make a judgment call? How many times do we base our opinion on a person without getting to know them? I don't need to get to know them, we may say. I've heard about them. Ananias raises this objection. God, I have heard many reports about this guy and what he's done, and the word has gotten to me that he has come here to arrest people like me. And what does God say to Ananias? Go. He doesn't confirm, he doesn't deny the reports. He just says, look, go. Talk to him. Ananias obeys. He hears the word of God, and like Ezekiel, he says, you are God, I am not. I have heard reports about this guy, but you have told me to go. And so I'm trusting you. He goes. He talks to Saul. And he plays a pivotal role in Saul's life. So let's recap. Once again, we've got Jonah, who eventually speaks to the people of Nineveh, and the entire city repents. We have Ezekiel, who speaks to the people of Israel. Not much happens. And we have Ananias, who speaks to one person. So the first point that I want us to ponder and to think about is, I've heard many reports. Are we basing our response simply on the reports, the rumors, the gossip that we hear? The second point for this morning is obedience. These three guys, Jonah, Ezekiel, Ananias, all three of them, in the case of Jonah, eventually obeys. Perhaps you're listening and sitting here this morning and you're thinking, you know what, I am never going to speak to a crowd and change their minds. I am never going to be like a Jonah or an Ezekiel or a Billy Graham or any of these evangelists and speak to a large group of people and change their hearts and minds. That's just not what God has called me to do. It's just never going to happen. You may be sitting here this morning and you may be thinking, you know what, I'm not very influential. You realize the life situation that I'm in, the people that I surround myself with, I'm not an influential kind of person. I don't know my history. I don't know the facts. I really don't know my Bible. I'm just going along as best I can. So I don't really resonate with these people here who proclaim the word of God and hearts and minds are changed. Maybe you're thinking that about yourself, and what I want you to think about is simply being obedient. And how you respond to when you do hear the word of God or read the word of God and the Spirit of God moves within your heart and your mind. Followers of Jesus are called to proclaim the risen Savior Jesus to all of those that are around. We are called to proclaim this by using everything that we have in our very bodies. Paul goes on and calls it a living sacrifice. You use your entire body, your entire essence of who you are, to proclaim Jesus as risen, alive, the Son of God. By doing that, we are revealing who God is. Both Jonah, Ezekiel, and now Ananias, by their obedience, they revealed to their audience who God was. So maybe God will lead you to speak to a great number of people. I don't know. Maybe at some point in your life, God is going to call you to proclaim to a great multitude of people. In your work, at your school, maybe across the world, He will call you to speak. Maybe God will call you to speak, and as far as you know, no one will listen. You'll share. Maybe you have been living in the kingdom of God, and you look around, and you're just not convinced that anyone really is paying much attention. And so you're sitting there like Ezekiel, wondering, what good is it to continue to live this way? But you're obedient. You're doing what God has called you to do by living in the kingdom of God, responding to who He is. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and maybe you're going to have a conversation or an experience with one person. And that moment, whether it's words that you say, whether it's the life that they observe from you, but you will impact their life and forever change their trajectory, that one person. And that one person will go and do mighty things for the kingdom of God. All because you were obedient. All because you impacted in the way God called you to. You see, Saul, who changed his name to his Roman name, Paul, planted and cultivated churches over all the known world of that time. Because Ananias was obedient and went and talked to Saul, because he simply didn't rest on the reports that he heard, or the rumors, or the gossip that was going around, because he was simply obedient when God called him to go, because Ananias spoke to Saul, Saul went to the non-Jewish world and proclaimed Jesus as Savior. Because of that, because of Ananias and his obedience, you have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because one person spoke to one person and changed the trajectory of their life. So this second thing, as we wind up here, in the ministries that you are involved in, here at Gilead Friends or out in your communities, are you aware of your vital importance? While you are involved in the ministries, whether it's Little Gilead, whether it's the Sunshine Bus, whether it's the Christian school, Sunday school, Hoops for Him, think of all the ministries that we have going on here within the Church of Gilead Friends and out in the community. Are you aware of how vitally important you are as leaders, as elders, as teachers, as helpers, as people who make the snacks, people who drive the bus, coach the teams? We need the people of the church to be aware of how vital you are. The reason that we do all of these ministries is because we want as many people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as often as possible. That's why every week we have Sunday school class, we have Little Gilead, the Sunshine Bus goes out during the summer. We do this because we want people to hear about Jesus. We want you to understand that there is something so much bigger at stake that we get to enter in and be a part of. God has called us. God has instructed us. Go and say or be and do. And we respond. Like Jonah did. Like Ezekiel did. Like Ananias did. It's equally important. It's equally vital that we get to know one another. That we go and we learn and we share with one another. We get to know the people. That we not simply rest on the reports that we have heard. This is how they used to be. Don't you remember how years ago, how weeks ago, how last month they were like this and they did, I don't think I want to have any part of that. We rest on the reports, the rumors, the gossip. It's vitally important that we expand who we know. That we drop this excuse of, I've heard reports, and we actually seek out to get to know them. If we could have a comic book illustration of the story of Ananias and God. God, I've heard reports of this man Saul, and all the horrible things he said, and the harm that has come to the people who follow Jesus, and he has come here to my town to arrest me. These reports are not good. Talking bubble in this comic strip. And I see God in his little bubble, because usually in the comic book, God speaks from up on high. God would say, sure, it's true. Saul did, and he said some horrific things. But Ananias, Saul has been changed. Something's happened since these reports that you have heard. I have done something miraculous in his life. The same miraculous thing that I have done in your life. Why don't you go talk to him? So as we sit here and we're mindful of reports we've heard about people, and maybe you can think of this person or these groups of people that you've heard reports, maybe you've even been a part of reports and stories and rumors. I've heard this, and we've talked about it, and it's just not a good thing. May we step back and ask, do we know them? Have we talked to them? Do we know their story? Or do we simply know what we've heard about them? Are we aware that God is a God of miracles who changes people? And the same God who can do miraculous things in your life and change who you were to become more like him is fully capable of miraculously changing this person who has done such horrific, murderous things. The call, the challenge to Ananias, to Jonah, to us. Get to know him. Go talk to them. Reveal to them who God is. Let's spend some time in prayer before we're dismissed. Maybe it can be a time of confession where if you want to go along with me, I never intend to preach at people. Fully be aware that this message of I've heard reports has nailed me right here and right here. Because how many of us have acted on reports we have heard? Based our judgment on rumor and gossip. We don't even know the person very well. How many of us can get so weary and tired of doing church stuff with church people? And part of it's because we might have forgotten how vitally important it is that we tell the gospel as often as we can to as many people as we can. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, these words of Jesus to Saul, where you revealed yourself to him and he was convicted and he was changed. We thank you that those words are there for us to read. May we be mindful of people that we have based our judgment, our opinion, on simply because of these reports that we've heard. We thank you for people like Jonah and for Ezekiel and Ananias who heard your word, who responded and obeyed to your word. We thank you that Ananias went beyond the reports, took the initiative, and had a conversation with Saul. We thank you that this man Saul had this experience, gave his life to you, and planted and cultivated all of these little gatherings of Jesus followers, and how that completely changed the landscape to the point where we are now here because of it. Father, as we go from this place, may you continuously remind us and nudge us away from the rumors, from the reports, from the gossip. May you continuously nudge us and convince us to get to know people, to have conversations, and in those conversations, we reveal who you are. Would you give us the courage? Would you give us the guidance and the direction that we respond to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom we profess as our risen King and Savior? We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Go in his power and his grace. You're dismissed.